Appendix A. Operating in a contested environment. This appendix addresses the means to recognize and overcome threat activities affecting signal support in a contested environment. It includes an overview of peer threat tactics, techniques, and procedures and methods to counter threat EW and cyberspace attacks. Threat tactics, techniques, and procedures. Information and its management, dissemination, and control have always been critical to the successful conduct of tactical missions. Given today's advancements in information and information systems technology, this importance is growing in scope, impact, and sophistication. The opposing force recognizes the unique opportunities that information warfare gives tactical commanders, and it continuously strives to incorporate information warfare activities in all tactical missions and battles. TC 7-100.2. Appear threats information warfare activities will integrate electronic attack, military deception, lethal fires, perception management, information attack, and computer warfare to deny U.S. and allied forces access to the electromagnetic spectrum in a contested environment. Understanding threat capabilities in the electromagnetic spectrum is key to sound signal support plans. Enemy attacks on friendly command nodes may combine electronic attacks, other information warfare effects, and lethal fires to deny friendly forces the use of spectrum-dependent systems. To accomplish this goal, threat forces gather technical and combat information about their enemies. As enemy forces locate and identify friendly units, enemy information warfare elements establish priorities to jam communications assets, deceptively enter radio networks, interfere with the normal flow of U.S. and allies' communications. Commanders, their staffs, and equipment operators must train to recognize and react to peer threat information warfare tactics, techniques, and procedures if they are to continue communicating in a contested environment. U.S. measures to prevent threat effects. There are operational tactics, techniques, and procedures signal planners and operators can take to mitigate peer threat capabilities in the electromagnetic spectrum. If an enemy cannot detect friendly signals, they cannot geolocate or jam those signals. Limiting electromagnetic signature. To protect against a peer threat's ability to locate and target radio signals, the G6S6 must plan signal support in a way that limits the electromagnetic signature of the command post. Measures to reduce the electromagnetic signature of command posts and communication sites include careful site selection for communications equipment, employment of directional antennas, operations using the lowest power required, limiting radio transmissions, using burst transmission to minimize transmission time, using a random battle rhythm schedule. Electronic protection techniques can also help mask the electromagnetic signature of command posts and communications sites. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer assists the G6S6 in planning electronic protection measures to reduce the command post signature. Terrain masking. Terrain masking can effectively block radio signals from reaching enemy direction-finding capabilities. Positioning communications systems with large terrain features or man-made structures between the communications system and the forward line of own troops effectively blocks an enemy from detecting the signal. Camouflage net masking. Radar reflective camouflage netting is an effective means of blocking unintended electromagnetic radiation from the rear and sides of directional antennas. Camouflage netting to the sides and back of a line of sight or satellite communications antenna ensures only the main beam of the antenna radiates. This main beam is highly directional. It is much harder to detect since the enemy would need to be directly in the transmission path. Line of sight. High throughput line of sight radios can carry high bandwidth data over distances up to 25 miles. but the links need to be engineered to minimize the chance of detection, targeting, and jamming. If the line of sight path is parallel to the forward line of troops, an enemy is less likely to detect the signal, and enemy jammers will be unable to reach the antenna with a signal strong enough to jam the radio. Remote antennas. Large command posts and their high-throughput communication systems emit a significant amount of electromagnetic energy. While planners and operators can mask some of this energy with careful sighting, terrain masking, and directional antennas, some electromagnetic energy remains. Because peer threats target friendly command and control capabilities, anything near the communication system is at risk of destruction from lethal fires. Commanders and signal planners should consider locating major communications assemblages as far from the supported command post as practical. Placing terrain features, man-made structures, or distance between communications systems and command posts provides the command post protection from lethal fires. Commanders and planners must consider the additional physical security and site defense requirements for a remote site during planning. Frequent command post dislocation. Despite all efforts to reduce and mask the electromagnetic signature of a command post, a peer threat is likely to locate it eventually. Moving a command post frequently reduces the chances of destruction. Frequent moves are especially important when operating within the range of enemy artillery. Maintaining continuity during displacement of a command post or catastrophic loss requires designating alternate command posts and passing control between command posts, FM3O. During training exercises, units must practice frequent command post dislocation and handoff between the main and tactical command posts. Integration with other staff elements. The G6-S6 cannot plan signal support alone. Other staff sections' functions and capabilities help inform sound, survivable signal support plans. Staff sections' activities during the military decision-making process reinforce each other's planning efforts. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer, signal planners, spectrum managers, and the G2-S2 assess threats to friendly communications during the military decision-making process. Integrated planning counters enemy attempts to exploit vulnerabilities of friendly communications systems. When creating electronic protection plan, the Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer and signal planners consider deployment, employment, replacement, and concealment of communications systems. Cyberspace Electromagnetic Activities Section. The CEMA section of the G3-S3 from brigade to corps coordinates and synchronizes cyberspace and EW operations for effective collaboration across staff elements. This section includes the Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer, the Spectrum Manager, the EW Technician, and EW Non-Commissioned Officers. The CEMA section is key to the collaboration of cyberspace and EW operations. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer is the cyberspace planner and understands the operations and missions of the unit and the commander's intent. The CEMA section participates in the planning and targeting process and leads the CEMA working group to support the military decision-making process. The cyberspace planner submits requests for effects provided by non-organic resources. Other key staff members who assist in CEMA include the G2-S2, G3-S3, G6-S6, supported by the Network Operations and Service Center and Signal Company. CEMA section activities include plans, requests, and synchronizes effects in cyberspace and the electromagnetic spectrum to support freedom of maneuver. Coordinates with higher headquarters staff to integrate and synchronize information collection efforts to support cyberspace and EW operations. Synchronizes cyberspace and EW effects requests with organic targeting capabilities. Prepares and submits effect requests using the Cyber Effects Request Format or Electronic Attack Request Format, develops, maintains, and disseminates cyberspace and electromagnetic spectrum input for the common operational picture, plans, coordinates, integrates, prepares for, and conducts EW operations, conducts spectrum management coordination for EW capabilities within the unit's area of operations, prepares and submits effect requests using the Cyber Effects Request Format as required, provide recommendations on commander's critical information requirements. The G6-S6. The G6-S6 section prepares Annex H signal to the operation plan or order with appropriate cross-references to the EW portions of Annex C, operations, operations security portion of Annex E, protection, the military deception plan, and the signal operating instructions. The G6-S6 integrates and coordinates DoDEN operations and spectrum management operations through close collaboration with the SEMA section during planning and operations. The G6-S6 also plans alternate means of communications for those systems most vulnerable to enemy jamming, provides COMSEC to protect systems most vulnerable to enemy information gathering activities, plans measures to protect critical friendly frequencies from intentional and unintentional electromagnetic interference, enforces proper use of radio, electronic protection, and transmission security procedures on communications channels, performs spectrum management, including designating alternate frequencies for radio networks and modeling the electromagnetic environment, publishes and updates signal operating instructions, prepares and maintains the restricted frequency list, taboo, protected, and guarded frequencies in collaboration with the G2-S2, implements cybersecurity on the network and automated information systems. The G3-S3. The G3-S3 is the staff lead in planning and the conduct of Army operations. During the planning and execution of EW and signal support, the G3-S3 exercises staff responsibility for electronic protection, includes electronic warfare support and electronic attack scenarios in all command post and field training exercises, evaluates electronic protection techniques employed, includes electronic protection in the unit training program. Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer plans, coordinates, and directs the execution of EW activities. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer is also the lead for the SEMA section. The Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer serves as subject matter expert on enemy EW capabilities and EW rules of engagement, leads the EW working group, submits information requirements to the G2-S2 to support EW planning and assessment, supports the G2-S2 during intelligence preparation of the battlefield, coordinates with the G6-S6 to plan, implement, and assess friendly electronic protection measures, coordinates with the G6-S6 Spectrum Manager to ensure planned EW activities do not interfere with friendly communications, deconflicts EW operations with the Spectrum Manager in the SEMA section, collaborates with the G2-S2 to synchronize and deconflict EW operations with intelligence activities. G2-S2. The G2-S2 provides current intelligence estimates during the military decision-making process and updated estimates during operations. The intelligence estimate includes current enemy tactics, techniques, and procedures, enemy locations in relation to friendly forces, the enemy's electronic technical data, enemy capabilities that could be used to deny friendly use of the electromagnetic spectrum, known cyberspace threats to inform cybersecurity and defensive cyberspace operations efforts. Recognizing and responding to threat effects. Because peer threats consider friendly command and control capabilities to be high priority targets, they have developed capabilities to deny their enemies the effective use of the electromagnetic spectrum for communications. Signal personnel and leaders must learn to identify and respond to threat effects in cyberspace and the electromagnetic spectrum. Electromagnetic spectrum jamming. Electromagnetic jamming is the deliberate radiation, re-radiation, or reflection of electromagnetic energy for the purpose of preventing or reducing an enemy's effective use of the electromagnetic spectrum, and with the intent of degrading or neutralizing the enemy's combat capability. JP3-13.1. Jamming is an effective way for the enemy to disrupt friendly communications. An enemy only needs a transmitter tuned to a U.S. frequency with enough power to overpower friendly signals can effectively jam U.S. systems. Jammers operate against receivers, not transmitters. The two modes of jamming are spot and barrage jamming. Spot jamming concentrates power on one channel or frequency. Barrage jamming is power spread over several frequencies or channels at the same time. It is important to recognize jamming, but it can be difficult to detect. Communications jamming. Radio operators must learn to recognize and react to electromagnetic jamming. This is not always an easy task, since electromagnetic interference can be either internal or external. Other sources having nothing to do with enemy jamming may cause electromagnetic interference. Unintentional electromagnetic interference may be caused by one or more of other radios, friendly and enemy, other electronic, electrical, or electromechanical equipment, atmospheric conditions, equipment malfunction. Radio operators must train to quickly differentiate between internal and external interference. Refer to ATP 6-02.53 for more information about isolating and eliminating internal sources of interference. Electromagnetic jamming most commonly affects single-channel radio systems. These radios include HF, VHF, and UHF radios. Jamming effects may be obvious or subtle. Obvious jamming is normally simple to detect. When experiencing jamming, it is more important to recognize and overcome the incident than to identify it formally. Subtle jamming is less obvious because subtle jamming signals produce no sound from the receivers. Although everything may appear normal to the radio operator, the receiver cannot receive an incoming friendly signal. Often, users assume their radios are malfunctioning instead of recognizing subtle jamming. See the print version of FM 6-02 for lists of common jamming signals. Preventive measures. Measures operators and planners can use to reduce susceptibility to enemy jamming include: minimize radio transmissions. Try to keep radio transmissions to 6 seconds or less. Use electronic countermeasures, such as frequency hopping. Train using radio silence. Use low power setting on radios for normal operations to reduce the probability of detection. Use terrain masking to reduce the probability of detection and block potential sources of enemy jamming. Indicators. The enemy strives to perfect and use new and more confusing forms of jamming, which requires radio operators to be increasingly alert to the possibility of jamming. Training and experience allow operators to determine whether a particular signal is a jamming signal. During operations, radio operators should remain alert to possible jamming indicators. Observable indications of jamming include apparently random noise or static over voice channels, recorded sounds, messages, or music over voice channels, no answer to a radio transmission. Reaction. Communications jamming requires prompt corrective action to restore critical communications capabilities. Possible reactions to jamming include continuing to operate. Enemy jamming usually involves a period of jamming followed by a brief listening period. Operator activity during this short period indicates to enemies whether their jamming efforts were successful. Continuing to operate normally gives the enemy no indication of success or failure. If the enemy hears discussion of the problem on the air or radio operation terminates, the enemy may assume their jamming is effective. Operators should never terminate operation of a radio network unless they are ordered to do so. Operators should be careful not to disclose to the enemy that the radio has been adversely affected. This means normal operations should continue even when degraded by jamming. Increasing transmitter power output. Low power is used for normal operations to minimize detection. Once the enemy begins jamming the radios, the risk of detection becomes secondary to the radio delivering required communications. Higher radio power may overcome the enemy's jamming signal, but increases the risk of detection by enemy direction-finding capabilities. Improving the signal-to-jamming ratio. The signal-to-jamming ratio is the relative strength of the desired signal to the jamming signal at the receiver. If the desired signal is much stronger than the jamming signal, the jamming does not significantly degrade communications. To improve the signal-to-jamming ratio, operators and signal leaders can consider the following. Adjusting or changing the antenna. When jamming occurs, the radio operator should adjust the antenna to receive the maximum incoming signal strength. Depending on the antenna, some methods include reorienting the antenna, changing antenna polarization at all stations, or installing an antenna with a greater range. Establishing a retransmission site. A retransmission site can increase the effective range and power of a signal between radio stations without increasing transmit power. Relocating the antenna. Operators may use terrain masking to block the incoming jamming signal. This may require moving the antenna and associated radio set anywhere from a few meters to several hundred meters. Changing frequencies. If a communications network cannot overcome enemy jamming, the commander may direct using an alternate or spare frequency. Pre-planned and well-coordinated actions are required in order for practical dummy stations to continue to operate on the jammed frequency, to mask the change to an alternate frequency. During a jamming incident, it may be difficult to coordinate a frequency change. All radio operators require knowledge of when and under what circumstances they should switch to a backup frequency. If the frequency change is not smooth, the enemy may discover what is happening and try to degrade communications on the new frequency. Executing the PACE plan. Quickly changing to the alternate or contingency means of communications reduces communications disruption. Using signals intelligence or EW capabilities to locate the jamming signal. Leveraging signals intelligence or EW capabilities requires coordination and collaboration with the G2, S2, or the Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer. If any of the corrective actions taken mitigate the enemy jamming, operators should continue operation of the network and submit a Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution Report to higher headquarters. Joint Spectrum Interference Reports document a history of problems and help identify possible causes for subsequent interference. Maintaining a historical record of interference helps develop countermeasures to future jamming incidents. Refer to ATP 6-02.70 for more information about Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution Reporting. Positioning, navigation, and timing jamming. Peer threats have capabilities to contest the space domain and attack the on-orbit, link, and terrestrial segments of U.S. positioning, navigation, and timing satellites. These attacks may have significant impacts across all warfighting functions and many weapon platforms. Electromagnetic jamming of positioning, navigation, and timing satellite capabilities affects not only communications, but also many other capabilities in tactical formations. Systems affected include communications systems, friendly force tracking, navigation, reconnaissance, radar systems, precision-guided munitions. Preventive measures. Measures to reduce susceptibility to and mitigate the effects of enemy jamming of positioning, navigation, and timing include using only encrypted positioning, navigation, and timing systems, antenna masking, terrain masking, training and maintaining the ability to navigate using a map and compass. Indicators. User indications that an enemy may be jamming position, navigation, and timing satellites include loss of satellite signal, red global positioning system icon on the network management system, loss of timing or incorrect time displayed on equipment, wrong location displayed on the map, jamming environment warning message. Reaction. Because of the diverse and widespread effects of enemy positioning, navigation, and timing jamming, a prompt, coordinated response is necessary. Operators of all affected systems should navigate using map and compass. While this does not restore system timing and situational awareness displays, navigation using a map and compass cannot be jammed. Increase distance between affected systems and jammer. If the jammer location is known, increased distance or terrain masking may mitigate interference. Use signals intelligence or EW capabilities to locate the jamming signal. Leveraging signals intelligence or EW capabilities requires coordination and collaboration with the G2-S2 or the Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer. Report jamming to higher headquarters. Submitting a Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution Report to higher headquarters documents a history of problems and helps identify possible causes for subsequent interference. Satellite communications jamming. Expeditionary forces rely heavily on satellite communications capabilities for beyond line-of-sight network transport. Systems and capabilities affected by satellite communications jamming include friendly force tracking, upper-tier tactical internet, tactical satellite radios, intelligence reporting systems. Preventive measures. Operational and employment measures to prevent satellite communications jamming include minimizing transmissions on single-channel tactical satellite radios. Try to keep radio transmissions to 6 seconds or less. Terrain masking. Camouflage net masking. Indicators. Possible operator indications of satellite jamming include seemingly random noise or static on single-channel tactical satellite radios, recorded sounds such as messages or music over single-channel tactical satellite radios, no answer to transmission, red satellite icon on network management system display, loss of data from the satellite, low signal-to-noise indicated on wideband satellite terminal. Reaction. The reactive measures here apply mostly to narrowband single-channel satellite communications systems. When a single-channel tactical satellite radio operator recognizes a jamming attempt, they may increase radio transmit power, only increase power on wideband satellite communications terminals if directed by the satellite controller. Change to a pre-approved alternate frequency. Execute the PACE plan, quickly changing to the alternate or contingency means of communications reduces communications disruption. Use signals intelligence or EW capabilities to locate the jamming signal. Leveraging signals intelligence or EW capabilities requires coordination and collaboration with the G2-S2 or the Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer. Report jamming to higher headquarters. The higher headquarters frequency manager and Cyber Electronic Warfare Officer can correlate reports from units across the area of operations to isolate enemy jammers and plan countermeasures, including nominating targets for lethal fires. Use line-of-sight systems for network transport. Units will be unable to communicate beyond line-of-sight or through significant physical obstacles. Satellite network controllers at the Wideband Satellite Communications Operations Center coordinate all interference resolution and reporting on DoD wideband satellite networks. Refer to ATP 6-02.54 for more information about wideband satellite communications operations. Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution. Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution reporting addresses electromagnetic interference and jamming incidents affecting the DoD. The objective of Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution is to document and assist in resolving electronic attack and recurring electromagnetic interference. Incident Resolution. Frequency managers and EW personnel attempt to resolve incidents at the lowest possible level using organic assets. If the spectrum manager and the cyber electronic warfare officer cannot resolve an incident locally, they submit a joint spectrum interference resolution report through the chain of command. Each successive level attempts to resolve the incident before forwarding the report. Corps and division spectrum managers coordinate regional and local interference resolution. The impact of each interference incident is unique, so no standard procedure establishes or guarantees resolution in every case. A systematic approach reduces the time and cost required to resolve interference situations. Refer to ATP 6-02.70 for more information about Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution reporting. Reporting procedure. Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution reporting takes place through secure channels. Spectrum managers should not delay reports due to a lack of complete information. They can submit an initial report while attempting to resolve the incident and follow-up reports to provide additional information as it becomes available. The submitter of a Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution report determines the appropriate security classification by evaluating the sensitivity of the electromagnetic interference on the affected system and considering the classification of the text comments. Army units report through their chain of command up to the Geographic Combatant Command and to the U.S. Army Communications Electronic Services Office. Message precedence of a Joint Spectrum Interference Resolution report depends on the urgency of the reported situation. Normally, reports are routine or priority precedence, unless the originating unit believes the incident is hazardous to military operations. In this case, the unit reports using immediate precedence. Cyberspace attacks. U.S. networks face continuous risk of cyberspace attacks. Cyberspace risk increases substantially when operating against a peer threat in a contested environment. DoDEN operations personnel implementing cyberspace measures can prevent many attacks. If an enemy cyberspace attack breaches cybersecurity measures, it may require defensive cyberspace operations support to mitigate. Refer to FM 3-12 for more information about defensive cyberspace operations support. Denial of service. A denial of service attack seeks to make a computer or network resource unavailable to its intended users by disrupting services of a host connected to the Internet. An attacker floods the target computer or network resource with more requests than it can handle to overload the system and prevent it from fulfilling legitimate requests. Denial of service attacks can affect any Internet Protocol Network system, including mission command information systems, logistics systems, administrative systems, end-user devices. Preventive measures. Good cybersecurity practices can prevent or lessen the effects of a denial-of-service attack. Cybersecurity personnel should maintain current antivirus software and virus definition files. Maintain properly configured network firewalls. Indicators. Operator indicators of a denial-of-service attack may include unusually slow network performance when opening files or accessing websites, request timeouts, widespread unavailability of a website or network system. Reaction. When faced with the symptoms of a denial of service attack, Doden operations personnel should report to the next higher echelon, G6, S6, or Joint Force J6, to determine whether the system slowdown is due to known activity on the network. Report suspected attacks to the G2, S2, and G3, S3. Continue operations using alternate or contingency communications means. Malware. Malware is malicious software intentionally designed to damage a computer, server, or computer network. Malware attacks can affect any automated information system, including mission command information systems, logistics systems, administrative systems, end-user devices. Preventive measures. Cybersecurity personnel attempt to prevent malware attacks by using and maintaining up-to-date antivirus software and virus definition files, creating and changing passwords according to the standards in Army Information Assurance Best Business Practices Document 04-IA-0-0001. Keeping system software updated and patched, ensuring compliance with the most recent security technical implementation guidance, maintaining properly configured network firewalls. Indicators. Possible indicators of a malware attack include destruction or unexplained changes to files, spontaneous restart of computers, erratic, delayed, or unexpected computer or network activity, antivirus software warnings. Reaction. If operators or Doden operations personnel observe indications of a possible malware attack, they should report to the next higher echelon, G6, S6, or Joint Staff, J6. Continue operations using alternate or contingency communications means. Report to G2, S2, and G3, S3. Doden operations personnel should not reconfigure computers or network systems in response to an attack unless directed by their next higher echelon. Data exfiltration and collection. Data exfiltration may be either electronic, removing files through the network, or physical, removing paper or electronic copies from sensitive areas. Either method may disclose sensitive operational information and plans. This compromise may place operations at risk. All automated information systems are potential targets of data exfiltration and collection. Affected systems include mission command information systems, logistics systems, administrative systems, end-user devices. Preventive measures. Cybersecurity measures and physical security combine to prevent data exfiltration and collection by implementing strict identity and access management controls for network systems, enforcing strict physical security controls, implementing access control restrictions, employing data loss prevention software, encrypting data at rest, maintaining strong passwords for network access. Indicators. Indicators of enemy data exfiltration and collection efforts include attempted or successful unauthorized physical access to sensitive areas, unusually high volume of outgoing network traffic. Reaction. The effects of data exfiltration can be catastrophic. If an enemy can steal enough documents, they can develop a complete assessment of U.S. capabilities, troop strength, logistics, and even operation plans. If any member of the unit suspects an enemy data exfiltration attempt, they report to G2, S2, and G3, S3, report to next higher echelon. Consider changing the maneuver course of action if operation or support plans become compromised. Malware attacks against combat platforms. Many modern combat platforms rely heavily on embedded computer systems. Any computerized system is susceptible to malware injection in the logistics chain, during maintenance, or through corrupted or unauthorized software updates. Preventive measures. Strict physical security and cybersecurity controls can prevent most potential sources of malware injection. Maintainers prevent malware injection by verifying the source of all software updates, checking the software hash to verify software has not been manipulated, maintaining strict physical control of data storage devices and maintenance computer systems, avoiding the unauthorized use of removable storage media, such as thumb drives. Indicators. Possible indications of a malware attack against combat platforms include similar faults on multiple systems, either simultaneously or within a short period. Faults related to subcomponents that rely on embedded computers for operation. Reaction. If equipment maintainers suspect compromised operating software on a combat platform, they should review maintenance records of software updates, report incidents to G2, S2, and G3, S3, report incidents to the next higher echelon, roll back software updates to the last known good configuration, if possible. Social engineering. Social engineering uses techniques that rely on weakness in human nature rather than hardware or software. The goal is to deceive people into revealing passwords and other information that compromise the security of automated information systems and networks. Adversaries may also use social engineering techniques to identify and develop potential targets for phishing and spear phishing. The target of a social engineering attack is an individual. A successful social engineering attack may compromise any system to which the affected individual has access. Preventive measures. All individuals should maintain operation security and cybersecurity awareness to avoid falling victim to a social engineering attack. They should confirm the identity of persons asking for personal information or access credentials. Pay close attention to website addresses. As a rule, individuals should avoid disclosing any information to unknown or unverified persons. Disclosing even seemingly innocuous information could make subsequent social engineering or spear phishing attempts against other targeted individuals seem much more legitimate. Indicators. Indicators of social engineering attempts include unexpected phone calls from unknown callers requesting sensitive information, websites that do not look normal, have several broken links or mismatching internet address, unauthorized personnel shoulder surfing. Reaction. If personnel suspect a social engineering attempt, they should confirm the requester's identity before disclosing information, report the attempt to supervisors, network managers, and G2, S2, report social engineering attempts to next higher echelon. Promptly reporting attempts at social engineering can raise awareness and prevent others from falling victim to the same techniques. Phishing and spear phishing. Phishing is a fraudulent attempt to obtain sensitive information such as usernames, passwords, and credit card details, often for malicious reasons, by disguising as a trustworthy entity in electronic communications. Spear phishing is a targeted phishing attempt, usually against key individuals or personnel with elevated or special access. Any individual may fall victim to a phishing attack. Key leaders and network administrators are also subject to spear phishing. Preventive measures. All personnel should protect themselves from phishing attacks by following best practices outlined in annual cybersecurity refresher training. Depending on the information operations condition level, the command may maintain awareness of the personal use of commercial email, restrict the use of personal email as required, block access to commercial email providers. Indicators. Most common phishing techniques share certain traits, including emails with generic greetings. Note that spear phishing attempts are more sophisticated and address targeted individuals by name. Emails requesting personal information or login credentials. Emails requesting or demanding an urgent response. Emails with spoofed links, where the text displayed does not match the internet address shown when hovering over the link. Reaction. If an individual suspects a phishing or spear phishing attempt, they should report the attempt to the Chain of Command, Automation Support Section, and G2S2. Confirm the identity of the sender before taking any action. Individuals can further protect themselves from fraudulent links by never accessing their personal accounts through links in emails. For instance, if an email purports to be from the individual's bank or credit card company, they should access their account only through the legitimate secure website, not through a hyperlink provided in an email. Commands should not threaten punishment against personnel who inadvertently fall victim to phishing attempts. Fear of punishment could prevent individuals from reporting attacks. Social media attacks. Adversaries may conduct social media attacks in support of their information collection and information operations goals. All individuals using any form of social media are potential targets. Preventive measures. Individuals should strictly limit personal information posted to their social media accounts. The compromise of this information could be damaging in itself or could strengthen an adversary's subsequent social engineering or spear phishing attacks. Individuals should restrict who can view their social media profile and activities using the privacy settings on the social media platform. Individuals and public affairs personnel must carefully weigh operations security considerations when they engage on social media platforms. Individuals and group administrators should not accept friend or group membership requests from unknown or unverifiable persons. Commands should consider limiting or restricting access to social media platforms as mission or operations security concerns dictate. Indicators. Indicators of potential social media attacks include friend requests from unknown persons, or duplicate friend requests that mimic a known person, unknown persons commenting on social media posts. Reaction. If a social media attack is known or suspected, personnel should report the suspected compromise to the G2S2, immediately change any passwords that might have been compromised, watch for indicators of identity theft. Attacks against personal electronic devices. Widespread use of personal electronic devices creates significant vulnerabilities when operating against a peer threat. Peer threats have demonstrated advanced capabilities to exploit personal electronic devices, seize control of cellular communications networks, and locate personal cell phones with precision. This gives them the ability to collect information, conduct information warfare activities, and direct accurate lethal fires. Any personal electronic device capable of connecting to Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or cellular communication systems is vulnerable to attack. Preventive measures. Measures to protect against personal electronic device attacks include maintaining strict control and accountability of personal electronic devices, downloading only trusted apps from approved sources, maintaining current security updates on devices and apps, disabling Bluetooth and Wi-Fi features when they are not in use, encrypting sensitive files and personal information, allowing only government-provided personal electronic devices to connect to the DoD network. Commanders should consider restricting or banning the use of personal electronic devices based on the tactical situation. Indicators. Some possible indicators of attacks against personal electronic devices are enemy attacks that seem to correlate with personal electronic device usage, incoming lethal attacks that occur with unexplained precision, receiving a barrage of text messages up to several per second preventing the intended use of the device, incoming propaganda or psychological warfare messages from unknown numbers. Reaction. If a unit suspects it has come under attack, they should quickly displace the element under attack and direct all personnel to immediately turn off personal electronic devices, disable personal electronic devices and confiscate them if necessary, report to the next higher echelon.